Good morning. My name is Andres, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Chesapeake Utilities second quarter 2017 earnings call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during that time, simply press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the conference over to Beth Cooper. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our second quarter earnings conference call. We're hosting today's conference call live from Wesley College here in Dover, Delaware, where our corporate headquarters is located. And I'd like to just say a special thanks to Dr. Gibson and to Dr. Jacobs, who are here in the room with us, for enabling us to hold our conference call here today. In the room with us are several members of our management team, as well as several of our key employees, some of which are alumni of Wesley College. Turning to slide 2, before we begin, all of you know that this presentation may include forward-looking information. We would ask that you take a look at our SEC reports, including our Form 10-Q that we filed yesterday, as well as our annual report on Form 10-K that we filed in February, where we discuss those factors and those risks that could cause our actual results to differ from the forward-looking information. Turning to slide 3, this is a summary for the quarter. Really, there's three things on here that we wanted to highlight. First, just overall from a top level, we continued to have strong gross margin growth in the second quarter. Operating expenses did overshadow that gross margin growth I'll talk about in just a minute, but still a strong quarter overall in terms of gross margin growth. Secondly, at just a high level from an EPS standpoint, and we'll talk in a little more detail later on in the presentation, you'll see that the weather and also the wind down of Xeron represented a reduction in earnings per share of about 4 cents. You'll see that gross margin from our businesses, including Eight Flags and some of the other areas where we had growth, also basically added about a penny per share for the quarter, including overcoming operating expenses for those operations. Higher depreciation represented about 5 cents a share. The equity issuance and our refinancing of about $70 million of short-term debt to long-term debt basically represented another 4 cents. And then lastly, some other expenses, change in tax rate, those types of things represented 3 cents a share. During the quarter, there were several significant events that occurred. First, I want to talk about 2 significant Eastern Shore projects were completed. Those were the White Oak project and also the system reliability project. And then in addition to that, we also, just after the second quarter this week, announced an acquisition of a small natural gas marketing company that will complement PESCO's growth strategy. In addition, we're well underway on our Eastern Shore rate case with interim rates going into effect earlier this week on August the 1st, and our construction continues. And we're expecting, as we'll talk about later on, for that project to be in service in the second quarter of next year. Digging into the numbers a little bit more, turning to slide 4, you'll see that for the quarter we reported EPS of 37 cents per share. That compares to last year's second quarter of 52 cents per share. Operating income overall declined by $2.1 million. Basically, that was a result of, I mentioned we had gross margin growth, very strong gross margin growth coming from Eight Flags, coming from our natural gas service expansion, coming from GRIP, coming from our organic customer growth, and also from long-term supply agreements that where the pricing in those agreements have been amended. That was Aspire. Very strong gross margin growth. On the expense side, we saw an increase of $4.7 million. When you dig and look at that operating expense growth, what you find is about 85% of that operating expense growth came as a result of depreciation because of the capital that we've invested, as a result of Eastern Shore and the growth that it has and is projected to experience, and then lastly, because of Eight Flags. We also took a look at, based on going back and looking at over time, the expense ramp up that we've seen, and we saw that ramp start to decline in the second quarter, which shows that as we're moving forward with some of these future projects coming along, that our margin and our expense growth are converging and there's becoming more of an alignment. Year to Year-to-date, when you take a look at those results, you'll see that we were down by 31 cents, half of it from the second quarter, half of it from the first quarter. Weather on a normalized basis would represent about 16 cents per share in terms of the lower results that we achieved for the year. In addition, the financing with the stock issuance is another 10, and the write-down or the wind-down of Xerox business represented another 3 cents. Taking a look at a little more detailed level from an EPS standpoint, you'll see that the unusual items, once again, were 4 cents. Eight Flags, when you look at the expenses as well as the margin growth, added 3 cents. Margin from our other businesses was 4, and then our other expenses, or the other operating expenses, were 6 cents, depreciation 5 cents, and then I mentioned the other two earlier, the 4 cents and 3 cents from the financing and then the other items. What's been important for us over time as we've been growing, many of you know, is to have a strong balance sheet, and that continued to be the case this quarter. We ended the quarter with book capitalization of about $820 million. In terms of equity as a percentage of total capitalization, very strong at 56%. When you look at equity as a percentage of permanent capitalization, at about 70%, just shy of that. In terms of being able to support our future growth, we've got a strong capital budget this year, and we've got some dollars that are actually rolling into next year. We have short-term capacity available, including a revolver that's $150 million, totaling $330 million. Similarly, we also have shelf facilities now in place for another $330 million, where we can place some of that short-term debt long-term as we deem appropriate. On the CapEx side, earlier this year, we talked about our budgeted capital was right around $260 million. We expect about half of the project costs associated with our Eastern Shore project, the 2017 expansion, to roll into next year, and that's basically resulting in our forecast dropping to about $209 million versus the $260 that we started for the year. But still a very strong, very high capital budget. And if you'll recall, I mentioned our book capitalization is about $820 million. This is about 25% of our book capitalization today. So a lot of growth that's going on with the company. And now I'm going to turn it over to Mike, and he's going to touch on the growth projects underway.
Thanks, Beth. I guess so. I'll move forward to the next slide, on slide 8. What we're highlighting here on slide 8 are basically five major projects that were currently underway or will be initiated in 18 and 19. The Eastern Shore Natural Gas expansion, that major project, almost $100 million of capital investment, expected to generate $9.3 million in 2018 and $15.8 million in 19. The project's expected to go into service in the second quarter of 2018. If you look next at FPU's Gas Reliability and Infrastructure Program, I think everyone probably knows that that's a program to replace old aging pipe that needs to be replaced. There's an automatic mechanism to recover costs associated with that. And you can see that's expected to generate $14.4 million in 18 and $15.1 million in 19. Eight Flags Combined Heat and Power Plant, that project went into service in June of last year. This year, next year is expected to generate $8.7 million. It's slightly higher in 19. There's an automatic pricing adjustment inherent in that project. The FPU Northwest Florida Expansion Project that's going into service, we expect by the second quarter of next year as well, of 18, $4 million, and then 19, $5.1 million. And then Eastern Shore's Natural Gas System Reliability Project. That also is a reliability project. It's a little bit different than the GRIP, but that, you may recall, the polar vortex we had several years ago, and when that occurred, what we saw were gas pressures coming into our system from southeastern PA had declined pretty significantly and had an impact on our system. So we're beefing up our system, so in the event that that occurs again, we won't have the reliability challenges. I'm sure there will still be reliability challenges, but they won't be to the magnitude they were, depending upon what happens up north. But in any event, $4.5 million in 18, the same thing in 19. Now, that number is really a rough estimate of the revenue requirement on the investment in that facility. those dollars are expected to be included, or they are included, in our rate case filing, and so we'll know the final outcome of that later on this year. Next slide. This also has a lot of the growth the initiatives we just talked about. However, the key point of this slide is really at the bottom of the slide there. We've got the triangle. That's $9,443,000 to $13,440,000, etc. That's showing the difference from year over year. So we've included a lot of different projects in here just so we can capture that total difference. Now, what's interesting also, this is focused on the major initiatives, but since 2013, I guess beginning in 2013, our gross margin has grown $20 million every year, or approximately $20 million every year. And we're looking at the same thing in 17. So what you're seeing here is a subset of our overall growth. And just for comparison purposes, obviously running pretty close to about half of that. So there's a lot of other stuff going on that we're not pulling out in these projects. Talk a little bit about the Eastern Shore project. It, as I mentioned earlier, $98.6 million in investment, generating $15.8 million of margin in the first full year. Project, we're right now have a filing on with the FERC. We're waiting, I guess, a quorum. FERC's been without a quorum for some time, so they've not been able to approve the project or a lot of other projects. They did get the quorum filled, I think, yesterday. And so there's going to be a lot of work done by the FERC commissioners over the next few months trying to deal with the backlog. But we hope to get that pretty quickly. There's not really any issues with our filing. Staff has looked at it, and it's pretty clean stuff, so we should get it approved fairly quickly. In any event, so if we could get all that done, we'll start in the third quarter of 17 and put it in service, hopefully, in the first quarter or second quarter of 18. Project description, 23 miles of pipeline, starting up in Pennsylvania into Maryland and Delaware. Upgrades to our TETCO interconnect that enables us to get access cheaper gas in the Marcellus. 17 miles of mainline extensions, upgrade, let's just see here, 3,750 horsepower of new compression, and then two new pressure control stations to help the system. Capacity increase of 61,162 decatherms. We're to translate that to a residential customer on a peak day. That's about equivalent to 61,000 customers. Florida Natural Gas Project, Northwest Florida Expansion. This project, it's kind of hard to tell from the graph, from the table, I guess, but it's just about the northwest corner of Florida in the panhandle. It's in the central time zone. Where we've initiated this project is just barely inside the rate zone from the Florida Gas Transmission. That is cheaper than the rate zone that we're buying gas from in the rest of our Florida projects. So it actually enables us to get lower cost gas into this area. It's a $36 million project, as you can see. Expected to generate $5.1 million in the first full year of operation. Construction's already started. Again, expect to go to service second quarter. 33 miles of transmission pipe. Now we've got anchor customers, obviously, that are going to start paying for the services as soon as we can deliver them. There's also a lot of other opportunities that could present themselves from us having that pipeline in the northwest corner of Florida. Turning to slide 11, whatever you have to do. Turning to slide 11, we've just completed the first year of operation of our combined heat power plant down in Florida. Capital investment was $40 million. $40 million. Gross margin, $9.4 million in the first full year of operation. In $5 million has been generated first half of 2017. This has been a pretty significant project for us as a company. It was our first power plant that we've ever constructed and owned and operated. We've got several honors from this power plant. Southeastern Electric Exchange, Inc. recognized Eight Flags as the plant has a 2017 Industry Excellence Award in the production category. Southeastern Gas Association recognized Eight Flags plant as the first place engineering award, and Empower Engineering recognized the plant as the best CHP project for 2016. So there's a lot of great things that have happened there with this project. Very profitable. Also is saving customers $3 to $4 million a year on the island that are getting the power from this power plant. And it increases the steam production for the host. Vesco Energy Overview. Peninsula Energy Services Company has been a company we've had since probably back in the 1980s. So we've had this for quite some time. But we've been growing it pretty rapidly here in the last few years once we acquire Aspire Energy of Ohio. A little bit about the services. The first services, level of services, demand or origination. Now, demand origination simply means we're finding customers that need gas that are, generally speaking, connected to pipelines that we're moving gas on. And so we're looking for new customers there to deliver gas. And we have supply aggregation. We also need to find the gas, the additional gas, to serve those customers. And we make money doing that as well. And then the optimization. You know, whenever you're doing moving natural gas from one place to another, the demand, the actual demand is always a little bit different than what everybody schedules. So that creates challenges and opportunities. And so the optimization is enables for us to do things with our capacity, either sell our capacity short term or deliver more gas other places to make additional money. And so those three categories are basically what's driving things. And you can see our territory on the right-hand side, the market area, you know, starting on Delmarva, Florida, the first areas we started, then with the Aspire Energy acquisition in Ohio, it expanded our footprint to the lighter blue, and the dark blue ultimately is where we would think we're going to be providing services. I think Beth mentioned a little bit earlier the acquisition in Pittsburgh. Just a quick summary of that on slide 14. Acquisition of ARM Energy Management. We closed that on August 1st. It's first, I guess, if you think about this, we're in Ohio with Aspire Energy. We're in Pennsylvania with our interstate pipeline and our marketing company and also our propane operations. And so this being in Pittsburgh kind of sits in between those two. It deepens our footprint and our commercial relationships in the area. It complements our existing portfolio and also provides PESCO opportunities to aggregate supply and provide new services similar to the strategy we've been using at Aspire Energy. Major projects and initiatives. As you can see, let me all start with 2019. We started with 2014 with the $7 million. That happens to be some specific projects that have some growth thereafter. So we started with the foundation of 14 and have shown the changes going to 19. So what you'll see in 14 to 15 is $18 million of growth from these major projects. You can see going from 15 to 16, $22 million. From 16 to 17, slightly less than $10 million, and then about $14 million in 18, and then another $8 million or so in 19. And we still got work to do on 19, and we're also working on 2020 to keep our growth rate in order. Remember, we spent $20 million a year pretty much since 2013. This quadrant graph on slide 16. We show this every time we talk to anybody. When we're looking at a quick way to measure how effective we're being and how profitable we are, we're looking at, all right, what's been our ability to achieve rates of return on equity that are higher than our cost of capital and higher than the medians, our peer group medians. And we've been able to achieve that. The second thing is that we've been able to deploy a lot of capital. Beth mentioned 25% of our current book capitalization is in our current budget, our current estimates. So if we are able to invest that magnitude of capital and maintain these solid returns, you would expect that our growth rate would be higher than the peers. These are three-year averages. You know, slide 16. Slide 17 just shows our performance looking at the NYSE. As you can see, over most of these years, about 85 to 95 percentile performance, and then the 1 year, the 51% percentile, and then the average shareholder returns. You can see that on the right-hand side. Again, 15% this year, 18.8%. I think I'm getting the colors right. Last year, so we've been some pretty high performing performance on the shareholder return. That's obviously driven by earnings per share growth and the ability to identify opportunities out of the marketplace and execute on those opportunities. Our disciplined approach to reaching new heights, slide 18. The key here is it starts with the foundation at the bottom. It's all this engagement stuff that we're doing. We have a highly engaged employee base that, I'm going to say, thoroughly enjoys the work that they're doing. I hear it all the time from employees about how much they love the company. And a lot of that has to do with giving them the opportunity to give back to the communities that we're serving. And just that enjoyment of helping individual people, whether it's food bank stuff, a whole series of things, Dogfish, Dash, all these different programs that are events that people are, you know, putting their time in to help the community. And that's really lifted up our engagement. It also includes safety and reliability. But if we get the foundation right, the engagement strategies right, and get our employees what they need to really enjoy what they're doing, then that kind of buys us a peace dividend, if you will, enables us to move up to the next level, which is developing new business opportunities. If we're not doing a good job on the foundation, then we have to spend more time continuously working on the foundation as opposed to working on growing the company. And so I think that's been a critical component of us, our growth, and you can see the results, you know, a lot of different awards. Continue to build for the future. You know, we're looking at this all the time. Every year we update our five-year strategic plan, and the key thing there is to identify aggressive growth opportunities. So when you look at this, you know, the left-hand side, strategic growth, expand existing pipelines to provide customers with low-cost supplies. So our business unit people are doing that every day. They're getting support from our strategic development group. What that does, provides customers access to lowest-cost supplies and ensures system reliability. Next line down, leverage pipeline expertise and be preferred owner and operator of pipeline systems to serve high growth and new markets. You can see that essentially when you're looking at what we've done in Aspire, Energy of Ohio, what you're seeing there in northwestern Florida, and what you're seeing on Del Mar with the major pipeline expansion you're seeing there. And we're continuing to look for different places to construct pipelines to move gas. Expand market share in our three targeted growth markets through profitable organic growth. Essentially, you know, once we put a footprint somewhere, we just look for opportunities around that footprint to continue to expand. And I mentioned Northwest Florida. That's a good example where we know there's opportunities on that pipeline or just off that pipeline that we'll be developing over the years. So it's you get the pipeline in place, provide service initially, and then you have all these opportunities that that exist to grow. Same thing in Aspire Energy of Ohio. Same types of opportunities exist. So, and then Delmarva, obviously we've got a pretty good footprint here on Delmarva, and same thing there. And then differentiate Chesapeake as a full-service energy supplier partner, provided through a customer-centric model. Essentially, what we're trying to do there, we have the propane company here on Delmarva, we have the natural gas company, and customers are obviously looking for the lowest-cost energy supply, and so we're trying to be flexible with those customers. If our propane company finds an opportunity to serve someone, but they're hesitating because they're waiting for natural gas service, then our propane company is just up front tell them, hey, look, if you need natural gas, if it's available, and we'll work with you on getting that taken care of. And that actually helped us get to Lewis, Delaware a couple of years ago with a customer there. And with that, I'll open it up to questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And also, please speak loudly and clearly. Again, that is star 1, and we'll pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And your first question is from Spencer Joyce.
Mike, Beth, good morning.
Morning, Spencer.
Morning.
Hey, just a few quick ones from me. First, want to talk about the ARM Energy Management purchase that was just announced this week. I know you gave some color around the operations there and some of the rationale, but Beth, perhaps from a financial standpoint, could you shed a little light maybe on the purchase consideration there, or just maybe in very rough terms, what kind of margin or operating impact we might expect to see just, you know, incremental working that acquisition in?
Spencer, this particular acquisition, as I mentioned in the beginning, is rather small, but it does really complement what PESCO does. The base purchase price of that business was just a little bit over $10 million.
Okay, perfect. Also, kind of sticking on the financing side, am I correct? The full short-term availability to Chesapeake is the $330 million. Is that right?
That's correct. We have $330 million, and of that $330 million, $150 million is a revolver, and then the balance are lines of credit that we have with three financial institutions.
Okay, great. Then finally, just kind of broadly, could either of you all discuss kind of how the first half of the year has stacked up versus your initial internal expectations? You know, I know the EPS was a little light versus kind of what we were looking for here on the street. Not that that's your problem necessarily, but I'm just wondering kind of some of the puts and takes. I know it's been a pretty exciting first half of the year. But it just kind of open-ended there, you know, how has the first half of the year gone versus how you had hoped or expected?
Well, you know, we started out the first half of the year. We did, or you know, we did have the warm weather that came into play, and we'd also been ramping up some our cost structure, and I think the combination of that warm weather and the cost structure ramp up obviously disappointed us, but it's we've stayed with the plan to maintain our growth, and or even looking at, you know, how can we accelerate that growth. And I guess that's got a lot of detailed knowledge on it. She can talk about that, but I think you know, when you look at it overall, you know, we've had 10 years in a row of record earnings, and so we'd like that to be 11. We haven't given up on that, but you know, we've had 10 years of record earnings, so if we're sitting here at halfway through the year of not being higher than last year, any time that happens, we're going to be in a place where we're going to be pushing things very hard to see what we can do to make any adjustments necessary to continue that record. So I guess from that point, would you talk about some of that details?
Sure. I would say one of the things, Spencer, that I alluded to earlier, last year, you know, we did the equity issuance, and we did it at a time not knowing what the market expectations were going to be around the political election, and also at that time with a different expectation in terms of the timing of the 2017 expansion project. So those two things, you know, we were ahead of it, and I think it was a great issuance, and it was the right thing to do, but I would say it was probably a little bit in advance of where the ultimate 2017 expansion project will come in. Having said that, though, as Mike pointed to, you know, we have had the cost ramp. We've had tremendous growth going on with Eight Flags, with Eastern Shore doing two projects this year. was in the middle, you know, of a large rate case, and then also the 17 expansion project on the heels of that. And so there's been, in my mind, you're going to start to see, as I mentioned, the margin growth and the expense growth, I would say, the expense growth declining as the margin growth begins accelerating as hopefully we come out of the third and into the fourth quarter. That's the expectation. And then you have the bigger ramp, as our slides show, as you have the 2017 system expansion next year. That alone adding just, you know, almost $9 million in 1 year from that one project is significant. And had it occurred this year, it would, you know, as Mike mentioned, we would be in a slightly different place. But we're committed to, as Mike mentioned, trying to look and hopefully accomplish our 11th year of record earnings, and we're focused on margin growth and costs across the company.
Okay. So, I mean, just kind of setting the EPS here year-to-date aside, I mean, it's fair to say that operationally, you know, the progress that you've made is sufficient to support, you know, kind of how you see the company how you see the company in, say, 2019, 2020, and, you know, kind of the multi-year planning horizon. I mean, the first half's been adequately constructive, if you will.
Yeah, for 2019 and 2020, yeah, I think we're very good shape.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, that's all I had. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, Spencer.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And please also speak loudly and clearly. And our next question is from Sarah Akers.
What level of interim rate increase are you implementing at Eastern Shore relative to that $18.9 million request?
We are, Sarah, that's something that we're still discussing, you know, at this time. You know, we'll have more information, certainly, as we come through the third quarter. But we as a team are looking at that. And, you know, as we mentioned in our disclosures, we're in the midst of settlement discussions right now.
Okay, got it. And then just to clarify your comments on O&M, so should we model O&M increases in the second half of the year similar to the 15% increase in the first half, or would you expect that to materially come down in terms of the second half O&M growth?
Based on, you know, with those projects coming on, and we have had coming from the first quarter into the second quarter, you saw a decline as we came out of the first and as we came into the second, and our thought, as I mentioned, is that hopefully those two start to converge and align more, so that path should continue, Sarah.
Okay, and then lastly, Beth, should we take your comments on the balance sheet to mean that you won't need equity to fund next year's capital budget?
We're doing right now, Sarah, an update. We also go through an annual budget process, and I would tell you that in our last year's budget process, it was basically borderline when we looked at it as to whether or not we needed any additional equity capital. At this time, we're updating those numbers and those budgets, but, you know, if there's big projects that are in the, you know, that come down the pike, certainly, you know, we would access the markets as necessary. What Tom and I take a look at, though, is, you know, we do have operating cash flow today that's anywhere between $90 and $100 million of operating cash flow that's going to come in and be available. So that's going to fund the first $100 million or so of capital. And then, you know, depending on the level, we'll go out in the permanent markets as necessary. Right now, with what I know from last year and what I'm hearing, I would not expect us to be accessing those equity markets at this time, but we'll let you know once we get through that process.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star 1. And now we will pass this conference over to Mike McMasters.
Thank you. I want to thank everyone for your continued interest and support of the company. We're not wavering in our efforts to grow our company and also to drive a shareholder value. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And this does conclude today's conference. You may now disconnect.